AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Yeah. Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the truth.
Bitch, I'm never gonna lose because I'm the greatest.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 137, I believe it is, of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I'm your host, Junkyard James. You are listening to this on the Junkyard Media Group YouTube page or on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Pocket Casts or wherever you can get your podcasts and listen to it there. And I just got a little bit of ground rules that I want to talk about before we get into today's show. It's a good show. It's a great show. We're talking about Mercedes Moné today, as well as a few things I see in the near future for AEW. But first, you see those four little buttons at the top of the screen. You got to like this video, comment on this video, share this video, subscribe, turn on the notifications. That's why you get notified every time we go live on Thursday nights. Me and Cody Marinara dishing the sauce, or we post a video on Saturday where I rock the boat a little bit with the casuals and the people in the IWC spitting hot takes because, well, the intro says it, Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. And, let's give a big shout out to WWE Shop, to StubHub, to RSS.com, to W Energy. Join the Discord. All of the links are down below. Find our merch at BeyondTheJunkyard.com. Go to W.GG. Use the code BeyondTheYard. Save 10% off of your order. JunkyardMediaGroup.com. Look at the website, join the Discord, and we got more big things coming here in the near future for the Junkyard Media Group. But let's jump in right now with everybody's favorite and most popular segment. It's the monologue. All right, so Mercedes Moné is causing a stir again on the social medias. The casual fans can't seem to get a grip that WWE literally fumbled one of the biggest assets that they ever had in company history in Mercedes Moné. She went by Sasha Banks at that time. She is such a big star in the women's wrestling game. She is a game changer. And right now she holds a unprecedented 9 belts. She is the TBS champion on AEW. She is the Rev Pro undisputed British women's champion, unified with the Queen of Southside championship. She is the CMLL Women's World Champion, the EWA Women's Champion in Austria, the Primetime Wrestling Women's Champion in the area of Poland, the Bestia Women's Champion in Italy. And just this weekend, she added another title to her prestigious run, the Discovery Wrestling Women's Championship out of Scotland, where she went title for title, Rev Pro Women's Championship on the line, DW Women's Championship on the line, and she beat Emerson Jane in what was a wonderful women's match there in Rev Pro for their 13-year anniversary show. She's also the 2025 Owen Hart Foundation Women's Champion. That belt doesn't get defended, so it's not a technical championship, but she flaunts the pink belt like it is. 8 championships, 8 titles, and it's got a lot of people talking. It's got a lot of critics out there saying, that's too much. One wrestler holding all those belts, it's diluting the prestige of the championships. It's selfish and it's unsustainable, but hold up. Let's pump the brakes and let's look at the bigger picture. This isn't about Mercedes Moné stacking championship belts to flex on us and to get clout to say that she's bigger than she actually is. But this is about a mission that Mercedes Moné has set out on, a vision, a revolution to reshape women's wrestling in general, but particularly indie women's wrestling, where the odds are stacked against the female top talent. Well, first, let's talk numbers, because the numbers don't lie. See, on the independent wrestling scene, the ratio of male to female talent is a staggering 30 men to every one woman. Every 30 guys getting booked, cutting promos, headlining shows, there's maybe one woman getting a similar shot. That's not an exaggeration. It's the reality of the independent scene. Women's matches are often regulated to filler spots or entirely cut out of the card if the card runs long. Promoters have forever had excuses of fans don't care about women's wrestling, or we don't have enough female talent, or it's just tradition to put the men on and not the women. And Mercedes Moné, well, she is wrecking the independent scene. She is saying women's wrestling will be on the map. The core of Moné's mission, what we will call here the global revolution, is about elevating women's wrestling to the same platform as men's, especially in the independent scenes where the heart of wrestling beats. The independent scene is the lifeblood of the wrestling industry. It's where stars can be born, styles evolve, the next big thing gets discovered. But for women, it's been a desert of opportunity. Moné's approach: flood that desert with attention, with money, with prestige, by taking over these titles and sharing a global spotlight on them. When she won the Rev Pro Undisputed British Women's Championship on January 5th at Wrestle Dynasty against Mina Shirakawa, it wasn't just a win, it was a statement. Suddenly, Rev Pro's women's division was front and center, with AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling fans tuning in. Ticket sales went up, the X post exploded, and promoters started booking more women. The Queen of Southside Championship, now unified with Rev Pro, obviously, same deal. The belt went from a niche prize to a much-watched title because Monet's name is attached to it. I said this on Thursday's live stream, but Rev Pro has realized the impact of Mercedes Mané in the industry. Their money, their gates, the people watching the show. I'm sure that there are a lot of people on an international stage now that is watching Rev Pro on demand, buying the subscription for $9.99 a month. I know I certainly have, because Mercedes Mané will appear on the show. And it's gotten me to learn about new wrestlers like Ricky Knight Jr., the now Rev Pro world champion. The brother of Sarega, Ricky Knight Jr., who is, in my opinion, on the same level of MJF in terms of being a heel. Side note, he just hasn't gotten known. But now people are learning about these people. What about Jay Joshua? He had a match the other day against Tomohiro Ishii. That's a big deal. And why are people paying attention to Rev Pro now? From an international perspective, because Mercedes Mané drawed them there. When Mercedes Mané went to, was it HOG to fight Indy Hartwell? People tuned in that had never watched that show before. Mercedes Mané brings eyes to these products. Now let's zoom in on the international stage. I'm sorry, zoom out into the international stage. That's the correct way to say that. Mané CMLL World Women's Championship win on June 18th against Zeusies. Well, that was a seismic moment for Lucha Libre. CMLL's women's division has always been strong, but Mercedes Mané brought global eyes to it. Fans who've never watched CMLL before are now learning names like Zeuxis and La Haroshita and Yeyuva. That's not overkill. That's cross-pollination. That's bringing new audiences to a promotion that deserves a spotlight. And then there's smaller indies like EWA in Austria, Primetime Wrestling in Poland, Bestia in Italy, Discovery Wrestling in Scotland. These aren't the WWEs or AEWs of the world, but they're the backbone of wrestling's ecosystem. On July 27th, 2025, at the All About the Mané event, she won the Primetime Wrestling and Bestia titles in one night, defeating Diana Strong. Is that overkill? No way. That event sold out faster than any show in those promotions' histories. Why? Because Mercedes Mané's star power is a magnet for ticket buyers, for sponsors, and for streaming platforms. And we're talking about money, so let's talk about it. Because wrestling is a business at the end of the day, and the indies are currently struggling. Rising costs, competition from streaming giants, the lingering effects of the pandemic, WWE's efforts to help the wrestling business have all hit small promotions hard. When Mercedes Mané walks through the door, with her belts gleaming, it's like an infusion of cash. Her involvement in EWA, Primetime Wrestling, Bestia, Discovery Wrestling will and has brought in unprecedented revenue. We're talking sold out venues, boosted merch sales, sponsorship deals these promotions couldn't even dream of before. Take Discovery Wrestling in Scotland. After Mercedes Mané won her championship belt on August 22nd, 2025, just this weekend at Global Wars UK against Emerson Jane, Discovery Wrestling has already reported a 200% increase in ticket sales compared to previous events. Ex-posts from fans in Edinburgh were buzzing about the event, and now Discovery Wrestling is expanding their roster, hiring more talent. Will hire more talent, will bring in more big names because they now can afford it. That's the Mané effect. It's real measurable growth for promotions that were barely scraping by. But it's not just about the money. It's about changing perception. Remember that 30-to-1 ratio that I talked about earlier? See, it isn't just a statistic. It is literally a barrier for female talent. Female wrestlers on the indie scene grind harder than most. They travel to smaller towns. They perform in front of tinier crowds, often for less pay than their male counterparts. See, Mercedes Moné's mission is to shift that narrative. By holding these titles, she's proving women's wrestling can be the main event, the draw, the reason fans buy tickets. She's showing promoters that investing in women's divisions isn't a risk. It's a goldmine. Every time she defends a title, whether it's the TBS Championship, the Bestia Championship in Italy, she's showcasing the depth and talent of women's wrestling. She's giving platforms to opponents like Mina Shirakawa, Zeuxis, Emerson Jane, Kanji, Deanna Strong, and others who get exposure they wouldn't have otherwise. This isn't about Moné hogging the spotlight. She's actually sharing the spotlight. She's amplifying the spotlight. She's making sure every woman in the ring gets seen. Like, imagine how many people watched an Emerson Jane match for the first time this past weekend. Imagine how many people watched a Rev Pro match for the first time this year simply because of Mercedes Moné. Now, critics have their points. Having 8 or 9 championships is a lot. And logistically, it can be a nightmare. Jetting between continents, balancing AEW tapings with defending the indie titles, keeping storylines fresh. I mean, there is a risk of oversaturation. I'll give you that. Where the titles start to feel like props rather than prizes. Some people on social media have even grumbled that this dominance by Mercedes may overshadow the other talent, keeping belts tied up when others could use the rub. And I get that point, but let me give you a counterpoint. Monet's not just holding these titles, she's elevating them. Each defense is a chance to build new stars. When she eventually drops the belts, and trust me, she will, it'll be to women who've been positioned as credible threats, thanks to the feuds she's crafting. Look at her match with Zeuxis and CMLL. The loss didn't bury her, it made her a name that people were clamoring to see again. That's not overkill. That's building the future. We were already thinking, like, who's going to beat Mercedes Moné for the CMLL Women's Champion? Is it Persephone? Is it someone else? La Catalina? And let's address the double standard head on. When male wrestlers like Ric Flair or even Kenny Omega held multiple championships across promotions, we call them legends. We celebrated their dominance. But when a woman does it, suddenly it's too much. When Roman Reigns holds onto a title for 4 years and only defends every 4 months. Oh, Roman Reigns is the tribal chief. He only wrestles when he wants. But when Mercedes Moné wins these belts and elevates these smaller platforms and busts her ass to build the independent women's revolution, and she doesn't defend her title every month, she's just holding the belt captain. That's a double standard. See, and it's the perception that Mercedes Moné is fighting against. That the idea that women in wrestling should be grateful just to even have a title shot, while the men can stack belts and be called kings. Her global revolution ultimately is about equality, proving that women can carry the industry just as capably as the men. By uniting these titles under her banner, she's creating a network of promotions where women's wrestling now is the highlight act and no longer an afterthought. The ripple effects are undeniable. More money means more production values, better lighting, safer rings, bigger venues. It means fairer pay for female wrestlers who often earn less than men on the same card. It means more diversity, more women of color, more international talent, more stories that reflect the global audience. The independents thrive when they're innovative, and Monet is pushing them to innovate by centering women's wrestling. Imagine a world where the indie promotions host women's tournaments as prestigious as New Japan's G1 Climax or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Battle of Los Angeles. That's the future Mercedes Moné is building, one championship at a time. Let me ask you all a question. We just had the G1 Climax, but did you also know that at the same time as the G1 Climax, Stardom was running a tournament? The 5-star Grand Prix. Did you know? Like, seriously, did you know that the 5-star Grand Prix was going on? And I wonder, is it because women's wrestling takes the back burner? By the way, Momo Watanabe won the 5-star Grand Prix this year. Congratulations to Momo. She's a fucking monster too. Back to the basics. So to those calling this overkill, you're missing the forest for the trees. 8 championships isn't about an ego. It's about impact. It's about taking women's wrestling from the sidelines to the main stage. It's about giving young girls in Austria, Poland, Mexico, Scotland, Australia, America, all over the world, a hero to look up to, a reason to believe they can headline. It's about making the indies profitable, sustainable, equitable. Mercedes Moné isn't just collecting championship belts. She's collecting dreams. She's collecting opportunities. She's collecting the future of women's wrestling. There's a reason after every match she has, her opponent, even though they lose the title to Mercedes Moné, they get up, they give her a hug, they start bawling their eyes out, and they celebrate with Mercedes Moné. Because they realize she's going to benefit them in the long run. So let me know what you guys think. Is this overkill or is this not? But that's all I got to say about that. This has been the monologue. All right, guys, so I want to end this show by talking about a few things that I think will happen in the near future for AEW. And I got 5 of them. We're going to go through all of the 5 of them. And it's going to go 5-1 with how certain I am that this prediction will actually hit. So 5 being the lowest certainty to 1 being the highest certainty. All right, so on Thursday night, we announced at the end of the show that Australia is getting a big event in AEW. And I've been taking them the last couple of days, like racking my brain, like, what could it be? Could it be a Revolution pay-per-view? Is it just going to be, you know, another Grand Slam? What is the idea? And then I remembered, I don't think New Japan is running the 2-night Wrestle Kingdom this year, where it was like Wrestle Kingdom night 1 and then night 2 was Wrestle Dynasty, the AEW New Japan cross promotion event. I don't think they're running it in Tokyo this year. And so, like, honestly, this morning I got up and I saw another post about, oh, the Australia announcement's coming soon, and it clicked. Like, this has to be Wrestle Dynasty, right? I think the 2026 Australia show may be Wrestle Dynasty. And it makes sense. New Japan has done shows in Australia before, to the best of my knowledge. AEW, I think there's a desire to have AEW wrestling in Australia. And it would just make a lot of sense for the timing of the show. I don't think they would give like a Revolution or a Double or Nothing or something of that like to Australia yet. I think they would try and do this New Japan and AEW collab with Wrestle Dynasty. And I think in early January 2026, it would be summertime in Australia. That's another thing you got to take into effect. Like, they can't do this show in July, you know, like it's summer in America. So it's like the cold season in Australia at that time. So January would be the warm season, the summertime in Australia. It would make perfect sense to do Wrestle Dynasty in Australia. Run it in Sydney or run it in Melbourne or you know, fuck, run it in Perth. You know, if they're able to. I think WWE is running a show in Perth, so they might not be able to. But, I mean, I think that's what the show's going to be, Wrestle Dynasty. And I think that's the perfect place to put it. And so, yeah, I think that's number five. And I'm not completely certain because there's very little information about it that I have found. I think the announcement comes tomorrow night. That they're going to have Wrestle Dynasty. They'll have to announce it pretty soon. And it would just make sense to announce it on another AEW New Japan promotional pay-per-view. Hey, the next time we do a collab is going to be Wrestle Dynasty, and it'll be in Australia. We'll see if that's the case. But I think that's something that they may announce tomorrow during Forbidden Door. All right, number four thing that I think will happen in AEW in the near future. I think the Acclaimed reunite as a tag team. We've seen the story of Max Caster and Anthony Bowens. They went their separate ways. They ever since they lost the AEW tag team championships, they split. They thought that they had to do different things to get wins and to take, you know, a different route. And they've both been losing. Ever since then, they can't get a win. They can't stack wins. The only time that Bowens has gotten a win has been when he fought Max. And the only time Max gets a win, well, he never wins. So I think at some point we're going to have the story of, you know what? Let's mend fences. We won a lot when we were a team. So let's bring the Acclaimed back. They really need that face tag team that can kind of light the crowd up. And I think the Acclaimed can be that. They do the rap thing and they can come back together. And then you get the reunited of the like scissor me stuff and all of that stuff. I think it would be a great reunion. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but I just have a feeling at some point in time where they're going to bring back tag teams that once split, right? I think Jurassic Express come back together at some point as a heel tag team instead of a face tag team. But also I think the Acclaimed reunite at some point in the near future. The third most confident thing of the five that I think will happen to AEW in the near future. Well, and I think this is an almost certainty. So this probably should be number one. But I feel more confident about this one than the other two, but I think the other two, they'll take the longest to explain, so I'm going to leave them at the end. Will Ospreay, I think, wins the Men's World Championship at All In London in 2026. Let's just be honest. I think Will Ospreay's pulling a Seth Rollins on us. I don't think he's actually hurt as bad as people are saying he is. I don't really even think he may need neck surgery. Now, he might need some form of procedure that's going to put him on the shelf for a little bit of time. But according to what I've seen, Will Ospreay was literally cleared by medical for this match on Sunday. He's not wrestling with a neck that would put him in jeopardy of not, you know, of getting even more injured. So I think there may be some lingering injury things But I do think that Will Ospreay is exaggerating the extent of his injuries. And so I do think he may take a little bit of time off, have a vacation through the rest of the year. Because you can't rush this. You have to get it to June or July of next year to get to All in London. And so I think Will Ospreay makes his return as like the Joker for the next Owen Hart tournament or something of that matter. And that's how he wins his opportunity to win the AEW championship. Is he'll just make his, like, that'll be the story. And I think Will Ospreay deserves time off. He's been kicking ass for the last several months. He travels from England to America like every week for TV. So I think he deserves a little bit of time off. Same with Swerve. Now, I think Swerve's injury is more legit. And I think Swerve will have some time off of TV. I think this is just, you know, this may have been an opportunity for AEW to swerve, quote unquote, the booking. And I get they wanted the Young Bucks to lose the EVP titles, but I don't know. Like, they're both, Ospreay and Swerve has been hurt, and it seems like they're both taking time off. So it would have been a great time to maybe put them off of TV at All In. But I'm not the booker. Tony Khan has a bigger plan in mind, and I think that plan eventually leads to Will Ospreay winning the men's world title at All In London 2026. All right, these next two kind of coexist with each other, but they're separate. So I think at some point in time, AEW, will no longer simulcast their shows. I think they're going to eventually go to a full streaming model where you can watch Dynamite and Collision live on HBO Max. And so HBO Max will be the home of AEW's television. You'll get it live. Then you can watch it on demand. The second point of this is I think at some point in time, at least in the United States, Amazon Prime Video will be the exclusive home to AEW pay-per-views, and it will eventually become part of a Prime Video subscription, meaning you won't have to pay as much money to get an AEW pay-per-view. Currently, right now, even if you don't have a Prime Video subscription, you can buy the AEW pay-per-view. I think at some point in time, if you have Prime Video, you're going to get access to AEW pay-per-views included in your subscription. Here's the thing that I've started to notice with Amazon and AEW. They just refreshed the Amazon exclusive store for AEW merchandise. I also realized that they're doing a merge of Amazon Prime Video and HBO Max, where, like, I think if you get Prime Video, you might be able to get HBO Max on a limited trial for free. And so, like, I think HBO Max and Amazon Prime Video are working together. So it makes an absolute a lot of sense on why Amazon Prime Video is getting the push for AEW pay-per-views over things like Triller and YouTube and PPV.com, at least in the United States. I also know that Prime Video was advertising AEW Forbidden Door this weekend on their the Amazon Prime baseball game this weekend with the Red Sox and the Yankees. They did a big ad spot for it. And so they're putting a little bit of effort into selling this pay-per-view. Eventually, at some point, the WWE is going to force AEW's hand to get off of the traditional pay-per-view method and go to a more streaming on-demand style, both for their weekly television and for their pay-per-view events. The pay-per-view model is eventually going to die out. The traditional cable streaming model will eventually die out. we're going to see, and we're already starting to see, especially with like ESPN, direct to consumer production. ESPN is now giving you all of their networks on one app for one price. You no longer have to have cable to watch ESPN. You can just pay $30 a month and you get all of the ESPN you want. Eventually, at some point in the future, Fox is going to do the same thing. They're going to put all of their Fox networks and Fox affiliates on one app. And you'll have to spend $30 for ESPN. You'll have to spend whatever Fox costs you. You'll have to do whatever NBC decides to do with their app. Eventually, all of these networks are going to go direct to consumer. And AEW is not going to be able to say, we want to do the pay-per-view route. We want to do the simulcast route. They're going to have to, at some point in time, move on to this method of content on demand or content direct to consumer and not through a traditional streaming or cable platform. So I think Prime Video will be the home, exclusive home to AEW pay-per-views, at least in the United States. And then HBO Max will just be the place where you can watch Dynamite and Collision. But yeah, what do you guys think? Am I off on any of these? What do you think about the earlier segment with Mercedes Moné? And I played this once already, but I just got to play it again to end the show. Because it makes me smile every time. Because people get really upset about Mercedes Moné for no fucking reason. And so I got to just piss them off one more time.
Please lose. Please.
Bitch, I'm never going to lose because I'm the greatest.
She is the greatest. She is the blueprint. She is the CEO. She is building a global revolution. I'm Junkyard James. I'm the host of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. We do podcasts every Thursday live streamed with my co-host, Cody Marinara. And then Saturday, you get a pre-recorded video that gets put out. So tune in, subscribe to the channel, share it, like it, comment. If you're watching on or listening on the audio versions of the show, give me a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Subscribe. And we really do appreciate you guys listening in. I'm Junkyard James. We'll see y'all on Thursday with a little bit of the aftermath of AEW's Forbidden Door. We're quickly jumping in. We have about 4 weeks until All Out. And we'll be doing that from Toronto. So everybody have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. This is the Beyond the Junkyard podcast on the Junkyard Media Group. See you soon. Beyond.